Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On the cover today in your bulletin, this picture is not the Leaning Tower of Pisa, is it? And it's not the Twin Towers in New York on 9/11. Oh, it might look kind of like that, right? It's the Tower of Siloam. And it symbolizes for us a conversation that Jesus had about repentance. As we heard in the Gospel today, Luke 13, about repentance, the Tower of Siloam. I want to change the subject just for a moment, related actually. This past week, there was a crash, wasn't there? Did you hear in the news? Up in Bearden. A terrible accident. A car crashed through at Tomato Head, the restaurant. Killed someone there who was buying their food, taking it out or something. And if I were the family, as we can all put ourselves in their shoes a little bit, we might be able to say, oh, how awful. It would hurt, agony. We lost a loved one. She was a principal of a school, a middle school principal. Our hearts go out. If we sympathize for them, we say, how awful. Lord, have mercy. We want to comfort them, don't we? We can also speculate, perhaps, the reaction of other people who don't know her, right? We could do that. For example, we could think of certain church bodies and how they would react, right? People who are God-fearing people. For example, the Roman Catholic Church. How would they react to this? Well, one, we could give them a pass this week, right, and say they're kind of busy selecting a new Supreme Pontiff, so we'd give them a pass. But I think we all know they'd have compassion. They'd have great compassion. They'd show the mercy of Christ. Praise be to God, as all churches should. Say Christ is the all and all. We can also think of some more maybe extreme groups' reaction. I can think of one, the Westboro Church of Topeka, Kansas. Have you heard of them? Kind of extreme church. And what would they say about someone who got killed at a Tomato Head restaurant? They might say, if you know a little bit about them, they protest at funerals and they're mad at everything, right? They might say, she had it coming, right? They might say that, she had it coming. Maybe some street preachers, too, might look at things that happen in the world and say, oh, they had it coming when the towers fell. Oh, they had it coming. Look at you, old nation. Look how bad you are. That might be a reaction. Might can be kind of mean, right? Kind of mean, it's especially because it's so recent, we want to be sensitive. But nonetheless, we can speculate how they would react and say, ah, she had it coming. But what about us? As Lutherans, how would we respond, react to hearing such news? We might even say something that seems a little weird at first, but let's think about it. What if we hear ourselves say, we all have it coming? Would we say that? We could, couldn't we? We all have it coming. And in a sense, it's useless to compare our righteousness just because of whatever happens to us, however we die, to another person's and say, well, that's how they died. They must really be bad. Or, oh, this person died that way. They must really be good. It's a useless enterprise. We don't have to do that, do we? It's not necessary. We are all guilty, right? The Scriptures declare we're all guilty. We confessed it this morning, thought we deserve punishment, we might even say. We don't just specify one person who dies, say, oh, they deserve punishment. No, we all, we're more communal than that. We realize that we're all under the same condemnation, the same guilt. God's Word puts us there. Now, don't get me wrong. It's still okay to be shocked and horrified because of sudden and evil tragedies, accidents such like this. And what are we to do? We should have compassion, right? We should show great compassion, great love, comfort. How is it that we can offer the greatest amount of comfort to them? Think about that. Is it by joining them in being shocked at God's injustice and saying, perhaps with some of the friends and relatives, why, God, why? Would that offer the comfort, if that was our last word, why, God, why? How unjust. This was a good person. They were innocent. Would we offer the most amount of comfort if we just left our words simply there? Or would we offer more comfort and the best comfort by saying, Christ atoned for all the sins of the world. Christ offers the greatest comfort for all sinners. Christ came into the world to die for sinners like them. and like me. Wouldn't that be more true and more comforting above all? We remind them that God's justice is met in Christ Jesus. So let's consider today the text from Luke chapter 13 and apply that kind of same thought to the text to hear what Jesus is saying. A tower fell in Siloam. 18 people died. Were they worse sinners than all the other people in Jerusalem? No. Jesus says so. No. Sin levels the playing field, does it not? Right? And also, Christ's mercy also levels the playing field. Some Galileans died, probably because they were doing something immoral or illegal, because Pilate took their blood and mingled it in their sacrifices as a public display of, wow, these guys are really awful. Look what they did. And Jesus says, do you think that those Galileans, because you're coming and telling me about this, do you think that those Galileans that Pilate mixed their blood in their sacrifice, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Is that what you're saying? Because of this example? And how does Jesus respond? No. But unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Was he telling them, don't be like the Galileans, or you're going to perish just like them? Or don't be like those whose bloods were sprinkled in the sacrifices, those who did this illegal thing. Don't be like them. Was he saying, don't be like those who died in the tower crash? Was that what he's saying? Perhaps we can say all sin is awful and evil, but I don't think that's what he's saying. I think here, Christ is saying, stop comparing your righteousness to other people's righteousness on human terms rather than in God's terms, right? After all, they're speaking to God in the flesh, the I am there, right? He has the eternal perspective. Stop comparing your righteousness this way, horizontally, me between you, you between them, their sin versus your sin. And start comparing your righteousness from above. There's a big difference, is there not? Sin levels the playing field. Just as one sin makes me a sinner, so also many sins also puts me under the exact same condemnation and guilt. But there's only one answer to the many or to the one sin, and none of us just commit one sin, do we? There's only one Savior who atones for all sin, and His name is Christ, the Lord. One thing our God really wants us to know is the gift of salvation. It's from Him. It's not from within. In other words, God wants us to know that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, His death, His resurrection, His atonement for you and for all the world. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, maybe many of you have memorized that. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Were these men guilty of boasting, perhaps, by saying, ugh, look at those Galileans, look how they died, huh? A little source of pleasure in your own righteousness, perhaps? No, it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves. Even that faith is a gift of God by the Holy Spirit, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. God gives it freely through the Holy Spirit. Come to work that faith through your baptism. It comes to you in the Word today, being preached and read and heard. Her Word that says repent. And the Word that tells us to receive again God's righteousness as a gift. Receive the Son today, His body and His blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. You're receiving righteousness from above. Why do you need righteousness here? And why do you compare things here? Compare your righteousness from above. Is that not what our God in Christ Jesus is speaking to us today? In our collect today that we prayed earlier, we prayed, O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Who are we praying for there? Were we praying for some unrighteous people that we don't even know? Or some Galileans? or some people who died or who might die because some tower is going to fall on them? No, it says all who have gone astray. And if we say all, we better point that finger back here too, right? All who have gone astray. I've gone astray. We've all gone astray from God's word. We all need righteousness as a gift, not from within, but from Him. And secondly, and bring them again with penitent hearts, repentance like we did today, penitent hearts, true hearts, penitent towards God, and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. So only if those sinners, if they change their lives and get better, right, then they'll live. Is that what we're saying when we're praying there? No. What we're praying is that they would ever hold fast the truth of God's word that is about Jesus. The word of His cross. The word of His resurrection. The word of His ascension for us back into heaven. The word of His gifts that make us righteous by faith. That is what we're praying for. That's the unchangeable truth of God's word. He says it is finished. It's done. It's for you. Have it. It's yours. Believe it. And as such, we can stop comparing our righteousness this way and say, you're worse than me. I'm better than them. They're this and that. So stop comparing your righteousness horizontally this way and saying, I'm better than you, you're better than me, I'm better than them, or God must really hate them, look how they died. Stop doing that. And start comparing or seeing your righteousness from above, from Christ, from God. God looks down, does He not? And what does He see? He says, there is no one righteous, no, not one. His word says it over and over. No, not one. And God is love. And God sends down love in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the love incarnate. He's love as a man. Love on the cross for us, to show God's love for me, for you, for the whole world. This is the righteousness all can attain by faith. Believe it. God is love. He's patient. He wants repentance, yes. He tells us that's why He asks for us is simply to repent and to receive. Repentance takes a little bit out of our pride, doesn't it? To say, all right, okay, all right, I am a sinner. Right, that's true. It's not easy to do. But it's true. And the only atonement for it is through faith in Christ, His cross, His resurrection for you and the whole world. Therefore, when towers fall, or when steeples crumble, designed by men, they're not perfect. When tomato heads crash, they don't have bulletproof or car-proof glass there, do they? And cars and drivers, they're not perfect. When sinkholes swallow whole, as they were in Florida this week, may our last word in summary of all things not be, wow, they must have really had it coming. May it not be, I'm glad it wasn't me. I mean, maybe we think that, but don't say, I'm glad that God must really love me and not others. Rather, may our reaction and our final word be this: I'm so glad to know Christ. I'm so glad to know that Christ died for sinners, like them, like me. Share that truth. That'll comfort them. I'm so glad that Christ rose to show that this life, this fallen world, is not all that there is. There is more. Christ has revealed it by His resurrected body. Such will be your body too. A resurrected life. We can remember here in Lent, even still, this is not Lent in a sense, it's Easter, right? This is the day Jesus rose from the dead. Remember the resurrection. This world is not all that there is. Offer them that comfort. Offer it for yourselves when you see all evil in the world, towers falling, storms, other things. Remember, this world is not all that there is. God grant us mercy. Keep us from sudden evil death, we pray, by all means, and others too. But remember, above all, the wages of sin is death. It's because of sin. And the wages of Christ Jesus is eternal life. He earned it for you. He gives it to you as an inheritance, a gift, through His body, His blood, His peace, His word of absolution today. It's yours by faith. Believe it. In other words, when sinners die, repent. When Christ dies, rejoice and be glad. And when we rise because he rose, no more towers fall, no more cars crash, and sin will be no more. To end today, would you please turn with me to page 7 and read again with me the gradual today? This is the greatest source of comfort in a fallen world where accidents occur. We say it again together, the gradual. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.